You know, there's a question that can get asked of a Christian that may cause them a little concern, and it's simply this: what about people who've never heard of Jesus? And of course, the idea is, well, come on, you're telling me that just because I don't buy into the Jesus club for some reason, God's going to throw me into hell, or I've never heard of Jesus, I'm out in the jungle someplace, and I'm going to go to hell? So the complaint is, how can God send to hell people who've never heard of Jesus? It seems so unfair. But part of that question has some misunderstandings behind it. Here's the first misunderstanding. It seems to be saying that people are condemned for not believing in Jesus. So remember I told you before, it's like the Jesus Club. Well, I'm just not in the Jesus Club. I don't believe in Jesus, so God's going to send me to hell. Well, what's the reality? That's a misunderstanding, that people are condemned for not believing in Jesus. Why are people sent to hell? For sins, for going against a holy God. Jesus is actually the solution. He's not the problem. Here's a second misunderstanding, that somehow all these people around the world, these good people, are desperately trying to find God. He's hiding. He's hard to find. He's just out there someplace, and they're working like crazy, and he's dodging and weaving and staying away from them. That's a misunderstanding. Good people are really trying to find God. What's the reality? Well, that God is hiding? I don't think so. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge." So knowledge is out there. Ecclesiastes 3:4 says, "He has set eternity in the hearts of men." People have a built-in knowledge of God. How about John 3:16? God so loved the world. He's not hiding. He so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. 1 Timothy 2:4, God wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Does this sound like a God who's hiding? 2 Peter 3:9, he, talking about the Lord, is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Well, if we worship this kind of a God who actively wants us to come to him, remember the story of the prodigal son, he's out looking for us, he rushes to us, he embraces us, what's the problem then? Romans 1 discusses the problem. I'm just going to give you a little highlight tour of Romans 1. It says men suppress the truth. Paul says what may be known about God is plain. The information is out there. So he says men are without an excuse. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. So are people rushing to God? Are people earnestly seeking God? No. There are a few, but we're mostly rushing from him, aren't we? Are we promised any help? Yes. Those who seek God will find him. How about John 6:44? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. God will draw us to him. Remember the story of Cornelius in Acts. He was a sincere, godly Gentile. And Peter is sent to witness to him because God recognized here was a man earnestly seeking him. Acts 17, Paul's giving his famous speech in Athens. He's talking about what God's up to in the world. He says, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. There are so many stories of groups around the world, including Muslims, in very closed-off, threatening societies that don't allow religious freedom. But Muslims have had dreams and visions of Jesus. The ones who are sincerely seeking him have found him. Here's some additional thoughts just to kind of knock around and see if it makes any sense to you. Some people believe in something called middle knowledge. And the idea is that God, because of his omniscience, knows how people would react in other circumstances. So he puts them where they will or they will not hear the gospel. So for those that are never going to hear about Jesus, God knows that in their hearts they're just not going to turn to him anyway. And the ones who earnestly would seek him are placed in such a location, wherever that happens to be, where a missionary will come along, or there'll be an internet program, or there'll be something on the radio that will speak to their hearts. There's also something called inclusivism that you might consider, that God will extend his mercy and grace to many people who have some kind of imperfect knowledge of him. And they think of, as an example, the Old Testament people. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know that name Jesus. But they're in heaven now. Revelation 7:9 says there's a great multitude in heaven. A great multitude. Heaven is actually referred to much more often in the Bible than hell. And many church fathers actually believed in this idea of inclusivism. This is not a new idea. Now, I'm not sure I believe it, but it's just something that you might want to think about. Here's a tactic you might consider. If somebody says to you, well, I don't know, what about the people who never heard? That doesn't seem fair. You know what we can do? We can personalize it and say, yes, that is a difficult issue, but you've heard. What are you going to do? So, in a way, it's a smokescreen, I think, by some people, so they don't have to reach a decision, but we can just say, so what's your position? What are you going to do with this? You do have the knowledge. So, as a conclusion, I like to think about Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he's made. So if you'd like any more information, please contact me. It's Gary@apologeticsforlife.org. And again, I've recorded some video messages that cover the same material. And if you'd rather see rather than listen to, you can watch some of those. They're at apologeticsforlife.org. Contact me if you'd like to get more information at all.